worshiping with us in person and online, sermon by phone and podcast, many ways that we get the word of God out to the world. Today, we do have some celebrations to make note of. We do have a birthday girl who's watching online who turns 93 on May 19th, Jean Prophet. Let us wave and clap and cheer. 93 on May 19th, and we'll be seeing her later in the week, and we'll sing happy birthday again to her. Some of the choir members will be joining me later in the week, and we'll see her. Are there any other birthdays? Any other birthdays today? Everyone's being really quiet. Are you sure? No other birthdays today? Well, let us sing happy birthday, dear friends. Week, my husband was at work and he sent me a text saying, "Did you see this?" And I said, "I did not, but now I know. Look what we just saw. The Charlottetown Airport is officially renamed the YYG Charlottetown Alexander B. Campbell Airport. The Honorable And when I went investigating, this is some information I found out, so credit to whoever put it on social media. The Alexander B. Campbell served as Prince Edward Island's longest serving premier from 1966 to 1978. Now, I do have to stop there because I was wondering if you, I know that you decided to step away gracefully, and that was your choice. I was two. Was it have anything to do with the toddler being, you know, terrible twos? I hope not. I hope not. But 1978, champion economic development, modernizing provincial infrastructure, and strengthening the connections that helped shape the island we know today. So thank you so much, Alec. Congratulations. And Marilyn, congratulations, because behind every wonderful gentleman is also this wonderful spouse. So thank you so much. I was teasing Alec when he came in. I said, "Now when I see you, do I have to do this?" He just smiled. Today is with deep gratitude and respect the Trinity United Church Summerside gathers and worships on unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Abiquiut, Prince Edward Island, is covered by historic treaties of peace and friendship. Let us prepare ourselves for worship. Today, we light the Christ candle as a sign and symbol of Christ's presence with us, and I invite Addison to light the Christ candle for us this morning, reminding us to take the light of love, hope, peace, and joy out into the world in our thoughts and in our deeds. All glorious gods, amen. You absolutely show us the way. Please join me in the call to worship. God be with you. Let us journey in the light and love of the holy. Amen. Please be seated. And let us join our voices in the gathering prayer as printed in your bulletin and on the screen. Today, may we be open to the unexpected, question the normal, and sit loosely to what we think we know. As we let go of what we think we know, let go our attachment to the way things are. May we make room for hope to work wonders in our life and our world. Amen. today, I welcome those ages 3 to 15, our youth, to come forward and to have a seat just up here on the steps or here in the front row. And you're welcome to come forward. Even if you're visiting with us, that is perfectly fine. And I'll get you to move over a little bit so I can get everybody. Awesome. Come on over. And you can throw kisses, whatever you'd like to do. Come on in. Do you want to come over here? Sit in the steps, maybe? Or is twirl? Okay. I like twirling. Twirling's fun. Hello. Welcome, everyone. I love that she twirled because it's perfectly what I'm going to talk about. So a couple weeks ago, my father-in-law made a comment to my husband and I, and he said, "What is it with around here? Everybody waves at you. They don't know who you are. They're always waving at you." And I thought about it for a moment, and I said, we do wave. I may not know the person, but as soon as I get into my area of what I call home, I automatically start to wave. And I don't know who the person is. I don't know what's going on. I just wave. And maybe it's a country type thing, but I thought, what about if we brought this idea, this country type waving thing, and we tried it within our city? What about if we're out, the next time we're out driving with mom and dad or grampy or a friend that's old enough to drive, and we're around and we just start to kind of smile and we wave? What do you think might happen? What do you think might happen? At first you might get some looks, maybe, from some people. Why are they waving? Do I know that person? You may even get the possibility of someone waving back. That idea that says, oh, wait a second. Maybe you've made somebody's day. Maybe if you smile and you wave and you welcome someone, they feel like maybe they are part of something. They feel home. And then this morning, I was talking to Louise as we were driving in, and it reminded me of home again. One of the things that we love to say when we have people coming and visiting, or we say, how long are you home for? Even if Prince Edward Island isn't their home, we will say, how long are you home for? And there is this sense of welcome again, isn't there? In our story today on this Ascension Sunday, it is about a homecoming in many different ways. Jesus is having a homecoming. The disciples are realizing that they have some work to do and that they need to support one another, that they are going to be looking and seeking homecomings. But there is this sense of home and connection. And maybe this world would be a much better place if, as soon as we were somewhere, as we said hello, or we waved, or we said, when are you coming home again? So we're going to listen to Caitlin as Caitlin shares a story on the Ascension from the Spark Bible. And it is about that idea of being not only a task for us to do, but being welcomed in that task. Caitlin?
The Ascension. After Jesus died and rose again, he and his disciples got together near Jerusalem. Jesus had some instructions for them. "As you know, God is doing amazing things in the world," he said, "and your help is needed. We need you to go tell stories about me. Tell your friends and family and everyone you meet what you've learned by following me. Be my witness in the world." Then suddenly, Jesus was rising, up in the air. What was going on? He was being lifted into a cloud. Jesus' friends looked around. Two men in white robes had joined them. The men said, "Why are you just standing around looking up towards heaven?" "Don't worry, Jesus will come back someday." "Right," said one of Jesus' disciples. "Meanwhile, we have some work to do. Let's get going."
Church will be getting going. As we head out to the auditorium, you will share in that idea of welcome, that idea of home, that idea of connecting. And so let us sing you out as you head to Junior Church today.
Thank you. be scattered. Let those who hate you flee before you. But let the righteous be glad and exult before you. Let them rejoice with exceeding joy.
Sing praises to God's holy name. Make a highway for the mind of our hearts. Be joyful and exult in God's presence.
Guardian of orphans, protector of widows, O God, in your holy dwelling. When you went out at the head of your people, when you marched through the wilderness,
the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before you.
You sent down a generous rain, you freshened your heritage when it languished. Sing to God, dominance of the earth. Praise the one who is dominant.
The one who rides to the heavens,
even the primal heavens. The one whose voice is mighty thunder. Acknowledge the power that is God's, whose majesty is over Israel, whose strength is in the skies. Blessed are you, God of Israel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Friends, please join me in prayer, and let us pray. Loving God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, dear God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the United Church of Canada, all those in leadership of any kind are expected to take a boundaries course that covers a wide range of topics. The initial intense course covers best practices when it comes to all sorts of boundaries. And once that initial course is completed, clergy engage in refreshers, little refresher courses every so often on certain topics, but with a more focused approach on certain aspects of ministry. Sometimes they might be on topics, things like social media and how to maneuver in that. A couple of weeks ago, I found out that my boundaries refresher was due again. Little notice on my church hub. And usually there's a few choices on these refreshers when they come up. Few topics to choose from. So I went online to sign up for one that might pertain more to me at this time in my ministry. But there was only one refresher available. And that was the boundaries refresher course called Retiring with Grace. So, now as you know, I don't think I'll be retiring from the United Church of Canada anytime soon. And I won't lie, I was a little taken back that this was the only program available for me to take. And when I was told I needed to sign up for it, because it was the one that was due now and I had to take it. Okay, this was the only choice. I kind of rolled my eyes and thought, okay, well, I guess I have to take it. I was told I have to take it. It's the only one available, and my refresher's boundaries is due. Believe me, I was not sure how helpful this boundaries refresher would be for me in my current ministry reality. But I'm always open to a good conversation or meeting a few new people. You never know what you can learn or how that conversation might bless you. Well, I must tell you, this week I'm eating humble pie. After the Retiring with Grace Boundaries Refresher program, which took up most of last Saturday afternoon, when it was completed, I left feeling so blessed by the conversation. I was eating humble pie, and I told them all that, all 79 of them. On the Zoom call from across Canada. The course was led by well-equipped instructors. There was a longing from the participants to engage with one another. There was this sense of deeper wisdom when it comes to not only retiring, but how we as clergy, no matter where we're at, how we can maneuver within any transition. We were all in places where we must continue to write the unfolding stories. For myself, as you know, I will be changing pastoral relationships. This change is a transition period. I must continue to answer the call to write my faith story. You here at Trinity will be experiencing a transition period. You are called to continue to write your faith story. And I'm blessed to be a chapter in that, but it's not your whole story. My new pastoral church will be experiencing also a transition period as they get ready for me. God love them. They will be called to continue to write their faith story. Sometimes the transitions, even though they are different, even though they have come with their own focus points, we can learn from each other the best practices on how to move forward, on how to continue to write our stories for the next chapter. In today's scripture lesson, Jesus is at a point of transitioning when it comes to his ministry. The ascension of Jesus is that threshold moment, one that the followers of Jesus have been preparing for. Jesus has made them ready through his teachings, his lived examples, the fulfillment of prophecy repeatedly. The ascension is the next step in all of this. This account in Luke's gospel, as well as in the book of Acts, solidifies the divinity of Jesus, the ongoing ministry of the word by the people. We are commissioned to take up this call. The role of the church, how the Holy Spirit intercedes, how Jesus goes and prepares a place for us and returns to restore justice. A full circle moment in time. Just a chapter. There is a lot in this text when it comes to the ascension. And as communities of faith, it is not something we consistently dig into, even though it comes up in our yearly lectionary. However, when we do pause like we're doing here today, we can make space to truly witness the ascension as a time of great transition. We are witnesses of the completion of one chapter, and yet the story will need to continue. It has to continue. It needs to be written. It cannot, it does not end here. The story is not complete. My story is not complete. Your story is not complete. We must pause, reflect, and sit with this text for a little while to realize that there is more to come, and we have a role in the continuing story of our faith. We seem to have a habit of just glazing over the ascension scriptures just a bit. We may also tend to do that with any transitions within our lives. We like to glaze over those possible transitions within our lives. As humans, for the most part, we don't gravitate easily to the unknowing. Instead, we ask, what's next? We seek familiar. We like routine. We want quick fixes. We don't like being in this neutral zone where we don't have all the answers. It is a place that may even cause us discomfort, but it is in the neutral zone where we can truly blossom, where we can build new roots and new relationships, where we, the people of faith, can truly shine in the light of God. We just have to pause in the neutral zone, not just glaze over it. In this neutral zone, this is a time of transition. I say it's a creative time. We can pause, we can prepare, we can try new things. We can let ourselves bask in those transformative moments while being in them, embracing the transition, embracing the best practices of letting go and of saying hello, embracing new ideas, embracing the gifts that we give to one another, embracing making room at the table for all, being willing to write the next chapter word for word, and not just a cut and paste from the past chapters. The ministry of the word deserves better than a cut and paste of past chapters. You and your faith deserve better than that. God deserves better than that. The ascension shows us better than that. It commissions us to pick up the pen and begin to write the next chapter of our ministry that Jesus taught. It is not final. Jesus' earthly mission has now become ours, and the presence of God will be with us in three modes: God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the three in one, the Trinity. And who would have thought that from a group of followers, a small group of followers in one little area of the world, has become now a world ministry that continues to be far-reaching, radical, never-ending, inclusive, welcoming, loving, forgiving, communal, because that's what Jesus taught. Does that sound hateful? Does it? No. Does any of that sound oppressive? No. Why? Because the ministry of Jesus, the kingdom of God, is not hateful and it's not oppressive. As we try and live into the two great commandments that are grounded in love, we must share in the true nature of God and live into its truth. God is love, period. Look what Jesus went through. Witness God with us. All that was involved in the lessons of the gospel. And still, even with all those scripture lessons, we witness a God who forgives, a God who loves, a God who continues to wait for us to be in relationship with God. Jesus showed us that the man-made earthly restrictions and the barriers that we create, the divisions that we create, the hate that we create, the racism, the oppression, the human atrocities that we can do were not and are not of God. If it's not of love, it is certainly not of God. If you are spewing hate, then gospel truths will feel very uncomfortable. But guess what? Love and light can change hearts and minds. I wouldn't be up here if I didn't think so. Love and light can change hearts and minds. God is waiting for us to turn back always. Jesus, in every chance he got, showed us how countercultural the kingdom of God truly is. God's creation was never meant to be put in boxes, to restrict us from giving and receiving love. Our light was never meant to be dim. Instead, the gifts of creation that includes all us working at our hardest and letting God's love shine through, that's why we light the Christ candle at the beginning of every service. To remind us of that work, to let God's light shine through. We are to embrace and celebrate all aspects of the body of Christ. God with us. The Spirit of God as part of our heart, the voice in any storm stirring within us, helping us through the transitional times when we just want all the questions answered. Giving us the pen, waiting for us to take that pen to begin to write the next chapter. You know, maybe I wasn't ready for retirement when I got that call that my refreshers course was due and that was the one I had to take, and maybe I wasn't ready for retirement. But I sure learned a lot about grace. And I learned to recognize the new chapter that was about to begin. Let's be ready to turn the page and maybe even eat a little bit of humble pie. All glorious gods. Amen.
Inside your bulletin this morning, you will have found a half sheet of music as the wind song through the trees. As part of our new music resource, we can reprint the words, and Stephen has put it up on the screen, but it's really tiny to read from afar. That is why we gave you the insert as well. But for those of you who like to follow the music and the notes with the words, there you have it. And we would love if you will listen to the first verse. And then you can certainly join in at any point in time, and then for sure come in on the second verse. But this song certainly reflects what Rachel has just spoken on, how the Spirit of God sings through the trees and changes us.
Thank you. morning.
Good morning.
The work of water. In the villages of Amam and Matalipe in the Philippines, indigenous families depend on small-scale vegetable farming to support their households. The gardens they tend provide food and a modest income for daily needs. But over time, the land has changed. As agriculture has expanded, parts of the surrounding forest have been cleared, reducing the land's ability to hold water. The impacts of climate change have made rainfall patterns less predictable and dry seasons run longer. For much of the year, local creeks are dry and water must be brought in from elsewhere. It's a constant challenge that affects both daily life and the ability to grow crops. In response, the Cordarrilla People's Alliance is working alongside residents to install a solar-powered water pump and storage tank. The system will be maintained locally, ensuring that the community has access to water and ownership of the solution. With a more stable source of water for both household use and gardens, families can strengthen their livelihoods. Gardens can grow more reliably, daily needs become easier to meet, and pressure on households eases. When we give through mission and service, our gifts are powering long-term support. Our gifts to mission and service help provide stable access to water for indigenous communities like Amam and Matalipe. They help sustain life, strengthen food security, and support families as they work towards a more secure future.
Bev, and thank you to the Faith in Action team for always bringing us what is happening with mission and service all around the world, not just in our communities or across Canada, but around the world. So thank you, Bev, for reminding us today. For your faithful reminders, just a couple of things. Next Sunday on the 24th, we will be having our junior church closing, so they'll be coming here. There's going to be some presentations, so come and support them. If you're watching online today, come next week, support them. We want to thank all the leaders and also our superintendent. So next week, we have some fun things that are planned as part of the service, and we look forward to celebrating as they will head out as usual and do more celebrating in the auditorium. Also, just I want to make note that if anybody, if you are a child, maybe even if you're an adult, and you want to know more about the piano and the organ at Trinity, see what Claire's doing. She is all through the service, is sitting up with her grandma, and she is watching the piano. She's watching also what's happening in the choir and then going over to the organ. You can do that I think any age, really. Anybody that really wants to do that, wants to kind of have a closer look at the amazing things that our music ministry does, open invitation to come and to be. And you never know, you might end up wanting to be in the choir. That's always a good thing, too. When we share our times and our talents, when we share the stories of how what we give, how it makes a difference, we are coming to Jesus as we are. We're coming to God and showing the light of God through us. One of the symbols here at Trinity is the offering plate. That's a symbol of the time, talent, and treasure that we give. And as Bill brings that forward, I will ask you to stand as we have a time of prayer and blessing over the offering. Again, of time, talent, and treasure. And friends, please join me in prayer. Let us pray. Loving Creator, help us to remember that we are made to love. And in doing so, we bring who we are, we bring our talents, we bring our offerings so that it may continue to show the loving ministry of your church out into the world. Bless our offering as you have blessed us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
please join me in prayer, and let us pray. O Holy One, often we want more. Often we want transitions to happen quickly so that we can get into familiar places. Help us to pause and to be in this moment now. The world around us tells us that we need more, but help us to pause and witness the world for the worldly and the heaven for the heavenly. How often we struggle with providing for ourselves, with planning the future, worrying that we may not have enough. Help us to reach out to those who are struggling, and if we are struggling, to be courageous enough to ask for help, to be present to one another, to respond to one another. Loving Creator, as we struggle also in our churches and in our communities, there is a world full of people. Remind us that as people, we can come together. This is a time within our world that so much is happening, so much hate, so much war, so much atrocities. But we can come together and find places of peace, live into hope, respond into the world through your teachings. Be with us, knowing that today many live on the edge, knowing that today many are struggling. Help us to respond. And with your love and your support, we can continue to move through this world. Gracious God, help us open us up to a deeper wisdom, taking us to deeper places of imagination and hope as we continue to write our story, our faith story. Help us to be courageous enough to start the new chapter. Help us to make our way in this world a better world for all, knowing that you are present, knowing that you are love, and knowing that we have those teachings that will guide us, offer us courage and resilience. In the name of Jesus, we pray all things. Amen. May that be so. As we leave this place today, I commission you all to be alert, to stand firm in the faith, to be valiant and strong, but let all that you do be done out of love. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen and hallelujah.